Hey guys, I hope all is well. Welcome back to The Truth Is, where I drop new videos every other day exposing the truth. We are back reacting to interesting online theories. This is part 4, so if you haven't seen any of the other parts, make sure you check it out. In those videos, we went over some interesting theories that you don't want to miss. But before you begin, I just wanted to tell you guys to subscribe to my second channel, Truth Network. I just dropped a new episode of my brand new podcast. You can find the link to my channel in the description. Thank you all. Now, let's get right into it. The first theory we're going to be talking about is the theory that the moon landing was a hoax filmed by Stanley Kubrick. This theory suggests that the Apollo 11 moon landing that took place in 1969 never actually happened. The theory claims the government fooled the masses into believing they actually went to space when in reality they still can't go. Instead, the government, with the participation of NASA and Stanley Kubrick, managed to create a fake moon landing movie. That movie was shown to the masses to fool them and convince them we went to space. Many different theories have been made about Kubrick filming the moon landing. Some say that Stanley was leaving hints in his movies of his involvement in the moon landing. Some people also back up the claims that the moon landing was staged by analyzing the footage of the moon landing itself, where they reveal many obvious inconsistencies. Let's take a listen to some of these theories.
He faked the moon landing. Did he film what we saw on television?
Yeah, it was all done by Stanley. And I know what they showed us was fake. There's a telltale line behind every single photograph, and it's the line where the set meets the screen. Mm-hmm. If you watch The Shining, his movie The Shining, and by the way, Stephen King agrees with me, every time that he deviates from the Stephen King novel, he's telling you about the Apollo, what he did during the Apollo launch.
In images from Apollo 11, Buzz Aldrin can be seen wearing different colored gloves and different length boots in pictures that were supposedly taken within minutes of each other. For example, in photo AS11405873, Aldrin is wearing high boots and dark gray gloves. But just two pictures later, in AS11405875, he has changed into smaller boots and white gloves. AS17151-23201 shows a clear shadow being cast on the ceiling of the studio. The astronauts using wires to achieve a more weightless appearance. During Apollo 14, there are many occasions where light reflects off the wires attached to their backpacks, making them momentarily become visible. During the Apollo 17 flag planting, just as the two astronauts go to shake hands, light pings off the wires from the top of their backpacks all the way to the tops from the backgrounds. A bright rectangular artifact appears around the Earth, proving it to be a composite image. For example, Apollo 11 photo AS11446642, when manipulated in Photoshop, shows a distinct separation line where the Earth was added into the image. Another example is Apollo 17 image AS.
There is an overhead shot of Danny playing in the corridor, and you see the pattern on the carpet. Conspiracy theorists believe that this looks strikingly similar to the Apollo 11 launch pad.
Oh, interesting.
The design of the carpet, that famous design.
Yeah, I don't have a great visual of it, and I can't pull into my brain the launching of it, so this is hard for me.
So when Danny stands up from that carpet, he's seen wearing a sweater. And do you know what that sweater is? I know you're a big fan, but...
No, red? I don't know.
It's actually a spaceship with Apollo 11 written on it.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's kind of in your face.
It seems a little much, doesn't it? So, okay, this one's interesting. They're all interesting, I think. So Danny enters the dreaded room 237, and in the book, the room number was 217, but it's widely believed that Kubrick changed it to 237 because that's the distance measured from Earth to the moon.
These theories suggest that the moon landing not only was a hoax, but was filmed by Stanley Kubrick. Some of these people brought up some good points on why they believe the moon landing was a hoax. Now, I have actually made a video about this 2 years ago now. While I didn't really touch on Stanley Kubrick's theory, I did provide some very interesting evidence regarding masonry and the occult's connection to the moon landing. I'll break it all down. First, the crew that was on the so-called moon landing itself. Both Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were both members of the Freemasons. In fact, the astronauts, a part of the Apollo 11, were given a Freemasonic flag to plant on the moon that, after taking a picture, was brought back to the United States. There is actually a video from a Freemason museum that proudly reveals their connection to the moon landing.
Museum curator here at the Scottish Rite House of the Temple, Washington, D.C. Today, it is my pleasure to be able to speak to you about the Scottish Rite flag that went to the moon in 1969. Knowing that Buzz Aldrin would be taking part in the Apollo 11 mission, the Supreme Council thought it would be nice if he could take something Masonic with him to infinity and beyond, because he was going where no man, or Mason for that matter, had ever gone before. See what I did there? The Supreme Council felt that a flag that represented the Supreme Council and Freemasonry in general would do the job. So the flag was hand-sewn by Inga Baum, who was the librarian of the Supreme Council in 1969. The flag itself is white silk. It is edged by a band of gold and embroidered with the words, the Supreme Council, 33rd degree, Southern Jurisdiction, USA, the Southern Jurisdiction motto, Deus Meumque Jus, the double-headed eagle, the crown of the 33rd degree, the insignia of the Grand Commander, and the insignia of a Master Mason. After the Apollo 11 mission on September 16, 1969, Buzz Aldrin visited the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., presented the flag to Grand Commander Luther Smith. Since then, the flag has remained in the custody of the House of the Temple's Archives and Museum Department. In an article about the Buzz Aldrin flag in the December 1969 issue of the New Age magazine, the historical significance of the Apollo 11 mission and its meaning for Masonry were discussed. So, does the landing on the moon have anything to do with Masonry? I think this article put it nicely by ending with this quote, "When man reaches new worlds, Masonry will be there." This flag's presence during the historic lunar expedition symbolizes Masonry's universal appeal. Masonry has been at the forefront of progress and human enlightenment since its beginnings, and will continue to be. This flag serves as a reminder of this. So, Masonry will always be there, and will continue to boldly go where no man has gone before.
The Masons themselves admit their involvement in the moon landing. Now, on top of this, when you search even deeper regarding how these spaceships were created, you find out it was directly tied to the occult. Jack Parsons was a rocket engineer and a chemist who is credited with creating the liquid-fueled power engines and the liquid fuel used to power those rocket engines. If it wasn't for him, rockets wouldn't even be able to take off. Even though Jack Parsons was important to rocket science, he's never really mentioned. Do you want to know why? Well, it's because it was discovered that he was an occultist, sex magician, who was directly tied to Aleister Crowley. Jack Parsons was a member of the Lima and was heavy into the occult. In fact, he admitted out of his own mouth that he used sex magic rituals to speak to angelic beings that gave him the knowledge to create the space rocket and its fuel. In my opinion, I don't believe we ever went to the moon. Now, whether Stanley Kubrick made the film for the moon landing hoax, I won't be able to prove that. And I honestly don't know if it's true. To me, that doesn't even matter, because knowing the Masons were involved is already enough for me to see it isn't what it seems. I believe this theory is true, and the moon landing was most likely a hoax. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. Now let's move on to the next theory. The next theory we're going to be talking about is that the Mandela effects prove we slip in and out of parallel universes. I know you guys have heard of Mandela effects. What started the Mandela effect was Nelson Mandela himself, who most people believe died in the 1980s. But according to history, he died in 2013. Many people remembered him dying in the 1980s, but now we're being forced to accept that he died in 2013. This is where the term Mandela effects come from. Other popular Mandela effects you might have heard of was the Darth Vader line, which most people remember as, "Luke, I am your father," when the movie actually states, "No, I am your father." Also, another popular one would be the Berenstein Bears, which the Mandela effect suggests it was actually called the Berenstein Bears. According to this Mandela effect theory, this is all happening because we have crossed into parallel universes.
Have you ever felt a sense of déjà vu or wondered if there's more to our reality than meets the eye? Imagine a world where alternate realities intertwine, where the boundaries of time and space are mere illusions. Join us as we unravel the mysteries of these alternate realms and ponder the profound question. Are we truly living in just one reality, or are there countless versions of ourselves navigating through parallel existences? Stay tuned as we dive into the Mandela Effect. Are we living in parallel realities? #sci-fi mindbend. What if I told you your memories aren't just fading, but are proof of parallel universes colliding? The Mandela Effect. Memories that millions of people share, but somehow never happened in this reality. What if these false memories are echoes from parallel dimensions? Could theirs be glitches in the simulation? Or cracks between multiple realities, science fiction, or a quantum phenomenon happening right now?
This theory claims that the Mandela Effect proves we somehow live in a simulation or somehow slipped into a parallel universe. According to some neuropsychologists, the Mandela Effect isn't us switching through parallel universes or glitches in the Matrix. Instead, It's a result of mass groups of people misremembering things and memories becoming corrupt over time. But I don't buy that. What are the odds that millions of people misremember the same thing? How would millions of people have the same memory of something if it isn't true? I always found the Mandela effect strange. I don't know if I necessarily believe in parallel universes, but I'm not saying I don't believe in it completely either. Better said, I'm not sure if it's true or not, as it hasn't been completely proven or disproven. What I know for sure is that there's no way that the Mandela effect is millions of people having the same false memory. That sounds ridiculous and is clearly said as a cover-up. I will honestly believe the idea of us slipping in and out of parallel universes over believing that we're all just having really bad memory. In fact, it was recently reported that Google's quantum computer Willow might be tapping into parallel universes when it does its computations. Some people are seeing this as possible proof of parallel universes. What do you think? Now, this theory, I'm going to have to label it inconclusive, but like I said, I am 100% positive for not being told the truth about the Mandela effect. Now, let's move on to the next theory. The next theory suggests that Alex Jones, the most famous conspiracy theorist ever, is actually controlled opposition. This theory is talked about by many people online. This specific video was posted by someone who was pointing out that Alex Jones admits his family has Masonic roots. Take a listen.
I have to probably say that I have major Masonic roots. I have never been part of a Masonic lodge.
Yeah, that's why you give the hand sign before you give the denial that you're a Mason, right? Here's the hand sign he's giving. In the Royal Master Degree, in the Dieguard, placing the forefinger to the lip tells one's companion to keep silent about what he's about to say, that he is a Mason. So he denies that he's a Mason while he's giving the hand sign, right? Giving the hand sign first to keep silent of the fact that he is a Mason. And then comes the denial of the fact that he is a Mason.
I've never taken Masonic oaths or rituals.
Yes, but you gave the hush, silent hand sign to say that you are going to lie, to tell your quote-unquote bros that you're a liar.
A lot of my family, because Texas was pretty much Masonic through and through, was Masonic, high-level Masonic. And they were very, very good people. George Washington was a Mason.
As you heard for yourself, Alex Jones confirms he comes from a Freemason family, admitting he has massive Masonic roots. I also saw a different video of one of the InfoWars hosts admitting he was a Mason. Unfortunately, I couldn't find this video, but it's somewhere on YouTube. I'll say I saw it about a year ago, so if any of you guys have that video, comment it in the comment section, please. But in my opinion, I definitely believe Alex Jones is controlled opposition. Alex Jones seemed too much like a character who's pretending to expose the elite. Also, the way he got the Bohemian Grove footage was so suspicious to me. I honestly feel he's controlled opposition and isn't working with the truth community but against it. The demographic of people he speaks to is another example of why he's controlled. He's pushing opposing ideas that the elite want planted in the masses. But that's my opinion. What do you think? Do you think he's controlled opposition? Let's move on to the next theory. This theory suggests that the movie Star Wars is actually connected to Freemasonry. Jordan Maxwell points out that in Freemasonry, there is a little spiritual entity that guides the spirit of Freemasonry, and they call him Yoda. His theory suggests that the Jedi Knights have to be Freemasons. And obviously, evidence of this is seen in the terminology in the movie. Like how the Jedi Knights meet in a temple and they have a grand worshipful master, which is Yoda. In Masonry, Masons meet at the Masonic Temple and they call their temple leader grand worshipful masters. There are so many similarities in the Star Wars franchise and Masonry.
According to the reference works, there is a little spiritual entity that guides the world of Freemasonry, and they call him Yoda. And in the reference works, you'll see this little creature with the pointed ears, and he's called Yoda. Yoda goes back to Judah, or Judah, which goes back into British Israel World Freemasonry, going back to the time of the founding of England, and that's why they're today called British. The British, it's a very big difference between being English and British. Brit is Hebrew for a contract or a covenant, and Ish means man in Hebrew. Therefore, British is the covenant man or man of the
new covenant. We're talking about Star Wars.
So we're talking about Star Wars. We're talking
and
about
the evil empire. The empire strikes back.
And with the empire striking back, New York is the empire state. We're talking about the new empire of New World. rule, America striking back at Europe in two world wars to overthrow the old Roman dynasties in Europe to take over the world. So what?
Jordan Maxwell makes some good points, showing the obvious connection between Masonry and Star Wars. And guess what? The connection goes even deeper, as by easily Googling George Lucas, you can find out he was indeed a Mason. These similarities aren't accidental, as Star Wars is obviously inspired by the craft. Star Wars is just more Masonic programming. Jordan Maxwell was right. If you guys are interested, I can do a full video breaking down Star Wars. If that's something you want to see, comment Star Wars below. The next theory I wanted to talk about was the theory that Theo Vaughn isn't who he claims to be. According to this poster, he claims that Vaughn actually comes from a Monarch bloodline, exposing who his father really is and how he's related to the elite.
Theo Vaughn's father is from a line of Polish monarchs.
His real name is Theodore Kapitani von Kurnatowski III. His father's name is Roland Theodore Achilles von Kurnatowski Sr. His father was a wealthy stockbroker before being exiled from the family for getting Theo's mother pregnant. Theo also tries to hide his reality star past from his comedian podcaster present. I've met Theo Vaughn, he's extremely nice, but it's a big club and you're not in it. For full breakdowns and sources, you can go here.
This poster points out that Theo Vaughn is hiding his past and his true identity, suggesting that he is a part of the club. I recently saw that he did an interview with Cat Williams and was trying to go on the whole exposing route. The thing is, Vaughn is obviously a part of the club. I noticed a while ago that there's a strange video that features Vaughn and depicts him in a satanic cult doing sacrifices. This music video is called Alabama, and it was released 6 years ago. Everyone they put in front of us to be viewed by millions of people are nothing but puppets. I believe this theory is true, and Vaughn isn't who he pretends to be. Well, you made it to the end. Let me know your thoughts about today's theories. Also, make sure to comment some theories that you guys want me to look into for next episode. I want to thank you all for watching, and I'll see you guys in the next one.